So we're going to talk, I think, I hope, a little bit about the transition moving from Tisha B'Av to Tu B'Av, from the saddest day of the year to, as we'll see in a few moments, to the happiest day of the year. Tu B'Av, along with Yom Kippur, another day we don't associate with happiness, but I think most people, this is a well-known Mishnah, that Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur are the two happiest days of the year. So we're going to discuss why and how it developed and really where in the world Tu B'Av comes from, and why that's the happiest day of the year. But before we get there, I just want to say a few comments on the calendar in general. The first comment I'll make, just again, as sort of an upbeat mood, there's an amazing, I know it wasn't on Safari, I have to complain to Sarah, they just have the, in Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, they don't have this whole explanation. So, you know, the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, that was a summary of the entire Jewish law. But, and really what the Mishnah Torah is an elaboration of the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. And he wrote a book, he wrote an introductory book known as Sefer Mitzvot, and the Rambam had a problem, not really for now, is there 5 million mitzvot, and how do you compress thousands and thousands of mitzvot to 613? Okay, that was the Rambam drop. So in mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel, in mitzvah 153, that's the mitzvah to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, to be Kiddush HaChodesh, the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people to set up a calendar. Slaves in Egypt, time is meaningless. So if we're going to be a free people, we have to have a calendar. So that's the first mitzvah. Rashi says the Torah should begin there. So the now we do not associate, I don't think, does anybody associate this mitzvah with Eretz Yisrael? Is this a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz? Did anybody say that Kiddush HaKodesh has any connection to the land of Israel? Nobody wants to answer? Tova, can I pick on you?
Adim came to Beitin.
Yeah, so the Beitin could be in Babel, no? So the answer, of course, is no. The answer is no. That
they started in the desert.
Yeah, no. Wait. So the Rambam quotes that this mitzvah can only apply, it only applies in land of Israel. But then the Rambam says, what about today? So the Rambam says, we don't have the old system of Kiddush HaKodesh. So the Rambam writes, yeah, we do. What happened is the Sanhedrin in the land of Israel 1500 years ago set up our calendar. And the only reason our calendar works is because there are Jews living in Israel. If Jews would not live in Israel, we cannot establish a calendar. We cannot celebrate a Yontif. And the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is basically God's promise to the Jewish people that there will always be Jews living in the land of Israel. I don't have it there to show you in the source, but it's really an amazing thing. The Rambam writes, Elohinichanu derech mashal shibnei eretz yisrael yodumei eretz yisrael. If you can imagine, chalila, God forbid, if you can imagine there would be no Jews ever living in the land of Israel, it cannot be, because God promised that the Jewish nation will endure. And if there are no Jews, a Jewish nation only exists in Israel. We exist as individual Jews outside of Israel, but the nation of Israel can only exist in Israel. So the Rambam writes, God has promised us that he will not eradicate the Jewish people. Therefore, that's a promise that there will always be Jew in Israel. But if God forbid you could imagine such a thing, he says there would be no holidays. Lo yeh beitin, lo yeh bechutzlarz beitin, shenis machmaras, lo yeh oilu klum. It will not help at all, b'shum panim. So this is just an amazing comment. We talk about the calendar. The calendar itself is related to Eretz Yisrael. That was the first mitzvah given in Egypt. But it's sort of upbeat. The calendar should give us sort of a sense of hope. Now just to... Okay, so Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av. So neither of those days appear, of course, in the Jewish calendar. I mean, they don't appear in the Torah calendar. So we know, of course, our calendar is not static. If you look in the Chumash, so let's quickly go. What holidays does the Chumash link to each other? In the Chumash itself.
Shavuot.
So everybody says Pesach and Shavuot, of course, although it's not called Shavuot. But of course, after the Mincha HaOmer, after the Omer sacrifice on the second day of Shavuot, you count 50 days, and Shavuot does not have an independent date. It's only 50 days after Pesach. Excellent. Good. What other holidays are linked in the Torah?
Sukkot.
Sorry?
Sukkot.
So what's Sukkot linked to?
Yom Kippur.
What's Yom Kippur? No, I don't know.
Purim and Yom Kippurim.
Purim and Yom Kippur, that's very nice, but that's not in the Torah. Correct. Purim and Yom Kippurim, right? Purim and Yom Kippur, this is not for now, but what the connection is between Purim and Yom Kippur, lottery, salvation, this whole beautiful piece on that, right? And you want to go again on rabbinic level, Hanukkah and Sukkot. One of the answers to the famous question of why Hanukkah is 8 days, when it's only the miracle was for 7 days, they had enough oil for one day, was because there was a replacement for Sukkot. We know that year they couldn't observe Sukkot, and that's why Beit Shammai says you light from 8 to 1, because on Sukkot, you brought the Korbanot in descending order from 13 to 7. So in Sukkot, though, there are a lot of comparisons between Sukkot and Hanukkah, and Purim and Yom Kippur.
But in the Torah itself, Torah and Hanukkah.
No, again, there's no Hanukkah in the Torah.
Closer Regalim.
That's on a rabbinic level. In the Torah itself, the other two holidays.
Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret.
Good. I'm not 100% if Shmini Atzeret is connected to Sukkot. I believe that.
Pesach and Shmini Atzeret.
Pesach and Shavuot we discussed. Shmini Atzeret is probably Atzeret for all the holidays. Yes, it's connected to Sukkot, but we know it's separate from Sukkot. It's a regal b'fnei atzmo, and it seems to be kashay alai preidatchem. That's let's have an extra day to rejoice with God. It could be Shmini Atzeret. Either correct, it is connected to Sukkot or connected to all the holidays. But yes, I would say Shmini Atzeret is an adjunct to holidays. The other one that we don't think of it this way because we don't distinguish between the holidays, but it's clear in the Chumash. Pesach and Chag HaMatzot. In the Torah, Pesach and Chag HaMatzot are two separate holidays. We have Pesach Sheni. We don't have Matzot Sheni. So Mimacharat HaPesach, the day after their Pesach. We link it now. We, in our imagery, link, of course, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. But again, that's not in the Torah. I mean, the Torah, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But the holidays are not connected.
Like a Pesach.
The notion of Aseret Yemei Tshuva is again later. Dershua Hashem b'Matzot. After we're, I haven't done the Mincha yet, actually, but after we'll read at Mincha, that the rabbis interpret Aseret Yemei Tshuva. But that's of course, and there's a lot of connection. But in the Torah itself, you don't have that connection. What's
the Shlosha Regalim all connected?
Right. Although yes, the Shlosha Regalim. Good. So excellent. Right. And I was also going to say that in the Rambam, it's very interesting. The Rambam doesn't connect Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Rambam connects Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. The Rambam puts Hilchot Tzom HaAsor as a separate unit, and the Rambam has Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, and Lulav in one. So that's kind of fascinating. Yes, the Shalosh Regalim. What's the point of all this? To show, of course, that every holiday, the whole point of the calendar, we never look at time in a static fashion. Time is always in movement, and the Jewish people are always in movement. So there's always one holiday. There's always something. There's always connecting to something else. Even the fact that we don't have days of the week, that's the most important of the calendar. Today is Yom Rishon B'Shabbat. Even the week relates to Shabbat, right? So everything in the calendar is interconnected, and we have highs and lows. We have high points in the calendar, low points. Now, there are no sad days in the Torah. Tisha B'Av, as we all know, is a rabbinic festival, a rabbinic holiday, commemoration, whatever.
Even the months in the Torah were Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni.
Yeah. They don't have names. Yeah, no names for the holiday. But of course, what's interesting is that Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av do exist in the Torah, just not by name. In other words, if you look at the narrative of the Torah, so Sefer Shmot begins with Pesach, and then we go to Parshat Yitro, we go to Mamad Har Sinai, and that's basically the holiday of Shavuot. And 40 days later, they break they have the sin of the golden calf. That's Shiva Sarva Tammuz. The reason we have Shiva Sarva Tammuz is because the Jews built the golden calf, and Moshe broke the Luchot. And then a year later, the Meraglim come back on Tisha B'Av. So very interesting. Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av are both mentioned in the Torah narratively, the events that the rabbis identify, each one for the first reason. The first reason we fast on Shivat Sar Tammuz, it's the day the Luchot were broken. And the first reason we fast on Shivat Sar, on Tisha B'Av, it's the day the Meraglim, the Jewish people cried. As Rabbi Minch just mentioned, that Tem Befia Shofinam, you cry for no reason. I'll give you reason to cry on Tisha B'Av or on Tisha B'Av. But it's interesting, the Torah itself doesn't mention those days. The Torah doesn't have a commemoration for Chet HaEgel or Chet HaMeraglim. That comes later on. Whether, in other words, had the temple not be destroyed, would we have a fast on Tisha B'Av? I don't know. I assume not. In other words, at what point did Tisha B'Av, when's the first time Tisha B'Av became a fast? I don't really know. But I probably after the destruction of the first temple. But whatever it is, those two events are mentioned in the Torah, but they're not... they're not commemorated as dates in the Torah. Now, of course, every holiday connects to Pesach, because the basis of Jewish life is Zecher L'Yetziat Mitzrayim. Zecher L'Sinai, we don't have so much. Everything we do, Mezuzah, and Shabbos, and Kiddush, every Mepidjon Abayin, I mean, every other mitzvah is Zecher L'Yetziat Mitzrayim. The be-all and end-all of Jewish life is at the Exodus, not Matan Torah. Of course, it's important. We got it. We took out of Egypt, you know, to get the Torah. But the basis of Jewish life all originates in Egypt, and that's why, of course, our calendar is based on Pesach. You know, Atbash. Everybody know the Atbash system, that the first day, every one day of the holiday corresponds to another day of the holiday. So, and the first one is Tisha B'Av, Aleph Tav. So this past year, the first day of Pesach was on a Shabbat, so Tisha B'Av's on Shabbat. We push it off a day. Beit Shem Bash. So this Shavuos this past year, if you remember, was on Saturday night. Gimel Reish, Gimel Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah this year in a couple months going to be on a Monday night, Tuesday. Dalid Sadi, Dalid Tzom is Yom Kippur will be on a Wednesday, etc. You go through the whole system. Zayin Ayin, the seventh day of Pesach, and Yom Atzmaut also fit in for those who, you know, nice, likes those nice coincidences. But that's Atbash. It's a cute way, the way our calendar is set up, but it's more than a cute way. It's telling us that every holiday is in some way connected to Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now, what's the connection Tisha B'Av to Yetziat? So the simple one is the kina we had this morning. Bitseiti mi Mitzrayim, Bitseiti mi Yerushalayim. I don't know. I said the kina the morning. Eshtukad, Bikurbi. There was, we contrast how the joy when we left Egypt, we go through all 22 letters of the alphabet and the mourning that we had when we left Yerushalayim. So you see the connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. And of course, thematically, what was the goal of the Exodus? If I say, why did God take us out of Egypt? There are a number of reasons, for sure.
To bring his parents to Israel.
Okay, that's true, but I was saying, what's the number one goal, or what's the number one thing we're supposed to learn from our sojourn?
Sinai.
No. What's the most important thing we're supposed to learn from the fact we're slaves in Egypt? Is to be nice to strangers. You were strangers over and over and over again. The Torah tells us that so many times. By the way, it's very fascinating that the Gemara tells us that it appears 36 times in the Torah. Somebody wrote an article when where exactly are the 36 times Torah, and then the Gemara says maybe 46 times. That's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. That Gemara appears right after the story of Tanur Shalachnai. It's part of Onat Varim. It's taking advantage of people. That's the Gemara's hint that the way they treated Rav Elazar HaGadol and Tanur Shalachnai was oppression. Because the Gemara says the most important thing is not to oppress people. So 36 times, at least in the Torah, that's the main message of leaving Egypt, to be nice to the stranger. And of course, that
to fulfill the promise.
What happened?
And to fulfill the promise from Brit Ben Avtarim.
I'm sorry. Yeah. All that is true. I'm saying there are many reasons we left Egypt, but the point that Torah stresses the most is to be nice to strangers. It's the kind of thing we're saying before. Always the Bein at the right. What does Yeshayahu complain about? What is read the Haftor we said yesterday? Complains. What do all the Nevi'im complain about?
They
complain about Shabbos and Kashrut. They complain we oppress the poor and we mistreat the orphan and the widow. That's what they always complain about. That's Sefer Yonah, you know, that's always what we complain about. Okay. So that's, you see, the connection between the various holidays are all connected, and Tisha B'Av, we haven't gotten into Tu B'Av yet, right? So we've shown Shiva Esar B'Tammuz is in the Torah and Tisha B'Av in Torah, not directly, but the events are in the Torah, and then later on that becomes commemorated. But all the holidays are connected. Now, what Shiva Esar B'Tammuz connected to? Which biblical holiday Shiva Esar B'Tammuz connected to? An easy question. I think you all know
Yom Kippur, really.
Of course, Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is the forgiveness for Pei Deigel. So Shiva Esar B'Tammuz is the same way Chanukah and Sukkot and Purim and Yom Kippur, Purim also. Clearly Shiva Esar B'Tammuz is connected to Yom Kippur. So we'll get to now. We'll have to figure out what Tisha B'Av, what's the antidote. And basically, I could tell you the end before the beginning. What we're going to show, what I hope to show, is that Tu B'Av is the same way what Yom Kippur is to Shiva Esar B'Tammuz, Tu B'Av is to Tisha B'Av. So a lot closer together. The idea of the tikkun or the tshuva, the acceptance, the sifan mechilah for Tisha B'Av on Tu B'Av. Now, just one other kind of interesting point, and Shiva Esar B'Tammuz, the two great sins in the desert, the Shiva Esar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, that's the sin of the Chet Ha'Egel and the sin of the Meraglim. Those two are interconnected, right? Nothing. Every story, every point, you can never read anything in isolation. Right in fact, that comes up. It's very beautiful, very simply on Yom Kippur, right after Kol Nidre. We quote the pasuk. What's the pasuk now? V'nishlach l'chol avon.
Salachti kidvarecha.
Yeah, where does that come from?
Nishlach l'chol adat Yisrael v'lager agar b'tocham ki l'chol amishkaga.
And where does that come from?
That comes from Meraglim.
Meraglim. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't come from Chet Ha'Egel. We're in Yom Kippur here. It's very fascinating that the pasuk we do to introduce the forgiveness for Yom Kippur comes from Chet HaMeraglim. Has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. That's I understand Chet Ha'Egel has to do with Yom Kippur. So I just find that an interesting point. It's connected. And these sins are really double connected. It's once God was punishing us for Chet HaMeraglim, the Chet Ha'Egel plays a major part in that too. In other words, the Chet Ha'Egel we sort of held in abeyance. Let's see how the Jewish people do. And in other words, each one individually, maybe we could have lived with, but the combination of the two is we couldn't. So I just find it sort of just as an aside, Chet Ha'Egel is sort of the Chet of Aaron. We know that whether Aaron was justified or not, but we know that God didn't fully justify Aaron, because when we're going to read next Shabbat, it's not that Hanan and the Akev, when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts the Chet Ha'Egel, and he says he prayed very hard that God shouldn't destroy the Jewish people. So he writes that God was really angry at Aaron, and he was going to wipe him out. He was going to kill Aaron. After all, Aaron was the one who gave the advice that led to the building of the Chet Ha'Egel. Be Aaron, hitanaf Hashem mo'od lahashmido. That's what God was really, hitanaf Hashem mo'od lahashmido. Those are really strong words. Hitana, Mo'od, Hashmid. These are really, really strong words. That's how God felt towards Aaron. Beth Palel, Gambar Aaron, Beidili, and I davened. And what does Rashi say? I was semi-successful. Elazar and Itamar were spared, but Nadav and Abihu were killed. So, again, we don't have time to get into it, but a very powerful Rashi. In other words, the deaths of Nadav and Abihu was a punishment for Aaron, because we don't know what they did so wrong. And this is, again, that's an unbelievable idea. But the Chet Ha'Egel, of course, is symbolized by Aaron. And it's and from the Chet Ha'Egel comes the Mishkan, at least according to Rashi. The command to build the Mishkan is only a result of Chet Ha'Egel. And that's, of course, the role of Aaron. Aaron, as sort of the, you want to call it a tikkun for Aaron, after the Chet Ha'Egel, which Aaron did, we built the Mishkan, and the Mishkan, of course, is the role of the Kohanim. The Chet HaMeraglim, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlach lecha anashim, right? That's a whole different, is that right or wrong? But it's clearly God didn't, that was Moshe's idea. So whether it's a sin or not, it's clearly Moshe didn't have to send the meraglim, and he sent them, and he paid the price. But it's worse than that, more than that. Yesterday's parsha, the beginning of the parsha, Perek Aleph. Gambi hitanap, again, the word hitanap, God got really angry at me, because them. Moshe is recounting the chet hamaratim, right? And what does he say? He says that Gambi hitanap Hashem biglaf them, more, lo tavo shama. The reason Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter the land of Israel, but Moshe says, is because of chet hamaratim. Unbelievable. What happened to hitting the rock? Maybe that's God's perspective. But Moshe's perspective, what Moshe said in yesterday's Parsha, is the reason I couldn't go into the land of Israel was because of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's your fault. Now you can argue the people couldn't go, he can go, whatever it is. But Moshe's sort of his punishment, you want to call it exile from the land, Tisha B'Av, that's for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mishkan and the Chet Egel, that's Aaron. A coin. These two, and of course, Moshe and Aaron are totally intertwined. Again, everything connects. You know, the first mitzvah, Kiddush HaChodesh, is given to Moshe and Aaron. So this is sort of just sort of a overview of how sort of the biblical holidays work through the Torah and even through the personalities of the Torah. Okay, so very nice. What does this have to do with Tu B'Av? Okay, so let's read the famous Mishnah on Tu B'Av. I'll share my screen. What's happening here? Hold on a second. Let me share my screen. Okay. I imagine many people, let's read the Mishnah and see what happens. Okay. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamin tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'avu kiyom ha-kipurim. So right away, the Mishnah is connecting. This is the last Mishnah in Masechet Ta'ani. The Masechet Ta'ani talks about not 98% about, but talks about the Mishnah. I talk about fasting, not 98%. A lot of it talks about fasting for rain. If it doesn't rain, then the other 48% talks about drought. Well, that's connected to rain, but the wild animals, all kinds of other calamities have to fast. And only at the end does it talk about Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Does not talk about Asar V'Tevet or Tzom Gedalia. Just Shiva Asar V'Tammuz and Asar and Tisha B'Av. And then the last Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo Yu Yom Kimi Yisrael Kekamisha Asar Kekiyam HaKippurim. That there were no greater days, no good days, Yamim Tovim, like the 15th of Av of Yom Kippur. So already we're connecting the Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Why? Or, well, I don't think it's why. Shavuot v'not Yisrael yotzot b'kli lavan shuli. And those days, and on those days, the daughters of Jerusalem would go out in borrowed white clothes. Shalol levayeshet means shame. Very beautiful. They don't want to embarrass a sense of sensitivity to others. Kol hakelim tu'unim tefillah. Now, they were very careful about tumah v'tahara, about purity and impurity. So all the clothes, all the vessels, like in the Beit HaMikdash, when people came to the Beit HaMikdash on Yontif, all the Jews came. So even though they were all supposed to go to mikveh and bitar, probably they all weren't. So things got tamei. So after every Yontif, they would put all the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash into the mikveh. But you see already the connection between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, the idea of white, right? White is purity, and white, the kittel we wear in Yom Kippur, the mikvah. So you see right away there, the Mishnah is, we don't know why, but the Mishnah is comparing Tu B'Av, not just in joy, but in the practices we have. Ubenot Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Yotzot, Echolot, Pekramim. It's interesting. It says again, and the daughters of Jerusalem would go out and dance in the vineyards. Mayom Rot, Bachur, Sinef, Ra'e. Guys, what do you see? I don't know, today maybe this is would be whatever. But in the time of the Mishnah, what do you see? Mata borer lach, alti teinen chabenoi, teinen chabemishpacha, look at the family, sheker achen vehevel ayofi, isha yirat Hashem hititalal. So that's what the Mishnah says. And now, it's very interesting. Who was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? When did he live? When is this Mishnah dated from? Before or after the destruction of the temple? Nobody knows. You have a 50% chance of getting it right, at least. right? So, what's the problem? There are two Rabbi Shimon and Gamliels. There's the one Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who was killed by the Romans when they were destroying the temple, the son of Raman Gamliel Hasakain, who lived before, of course, the destruction of the temple. And then there's his grandson, who was after Raman Gamliel, in Yavne. So we're talking, 70 years after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is this? Is this the first or the second?
I think it's the second.
Yeah, how do you know that?
Because the tense, lo hayu.
So I think it's interesting. In Sepharia, they wrote, they weren't sure. They sort of wrote, they don't know. And to me, it appears pretty obvious. First of all, they're not Jerusalem. I don't know, after the temple, how many maidens lived in Jerusalem? You don't have not Jerusalem. And who I'm going to mikveh, Tuma, Vatara, these are all pre-temple, pre-destruction notions. And the joy, it's hard to believe that right after the destruction of the temple, but it seems to me that this Mishnah is taking place, while the Beit HaMikdash is standing. Now, this is a very audacious Mishnah, because what does that mean? What's a more important day, Pesach or Tu B'Av? What do we mean, Loyu Yamim Tovim Yisrael Ketuba? I understand Yom Kippur. It's not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It's a day we stand before God. But what do you mean, Tu B'Av is that? Who ever heard of Tu B'Av? What event happened? And even if so, how can you make it happier than any other day? So that's the question. So let's read through the Gemara and then we'll talk about it a little bit more. So the Gemara is, what happens here? Okay. The Gemara Ta'anit. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara and Tanit Skar says.
Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lo yu 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 we can't see it.
Yeah, can everybody see it?
No, we're looking at the...
your email.
We're looking at your email.
That's very funny. That's I switched it. Okay, you're looking at my emails. Anything private you shouldn't know about?
Nothing too exciting. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, no, I guess I haven't even... Okay, hopefully this will work. Now do you see it?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know, because when I switched it, I guess it didn't switch. Okay. I'm Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Lo yu yamim tovim kamisha sarik yom kippurim. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Bishlama yom kippurim. I understand why Yom Kippur is a very happy day. Mishum de'it be'slicha u'mechila. Because it's a day of forgiveness. Pardon and forgiveness. Yom shenitno bo luchot achronot. The days the second luchot were given. Again, is that one reason or two reasons? Think about that. We'll come back to that. Right? Is it one reason or two reasons? In other words, it's a day of forgiveness and it's a day we got the Torah. Or is it because it's a day of forgiveness that the forgiveness is shown through the giving of the Torah? The way the Mishnah reads, it sounds like it's two reasons. But the way we tend to understand this, like one reason, because God, how did God show that he forgave us? He used the Luchot Achronot, but you don't have to read it that way. You can read it. They're two separate things that come together. Okay. Anyway.
If it was the two separate things, I think you'd have a vav.
No, Viyom.
Viyom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think it's one thing. I do think it's one thing, but whatever. I just pointed out the, I mean, in here they put a comma. That indicates it's two things, right? Whoever edited here the Gemara probably thinks it's two things. I don't know. Okay. Ella Chamisha Sarvav Maihi. What happened on the 15th of Av? So now we're going to have six answers that we're going to quickly go through. So you know already, whenever the Gemara has six answers to a question, it means they really don't know why. They're right. Everybody's giving another reason, but we'll see. What's the unifying force? So number one. Yom Shehu Tru Shvatim Avo Zevazeh. This is an unbelievable reason. It's the day that tribes can marry one another. What does that mean? What do you mean? Why can't they marry each other?
Is that going back to that story in Shoftim but the story's not there, but it's the aftermath of that when Binyamin was wiped out.
That's the second reason. You're ahead of us. Yes. So that was last week's Parsha. Whoever was in Shul last week, I know that's the dangerous thing. You're not the last to ask questions, things we just read. Right? So, the end of Sefer Bamidbar is
the Notzlofchad.
Notzlofchad. And the Torah tells us that the men of Notzlofchad, the people of, Shevet Imanashe, they were upset. They were going to lose. Their daughters, their sisters there, whatever, right? The Notzlofchad, they're going to get a Yerusha. They're going to get an inheritance of land. No, they're going to marry somebody from Reuven. Oh, maybe not Reuven. He's on the other side of the border. But they're going to marry somebody from Yisachar, from Zvulun. They're going to marry. And that portion of the land will be, our tribe will lose that portion of the land. And therefore, that's not good. So the Torah says, okay, you're right. You know what? You can only marry people in your own tribe. Wow, that's pretty amazing. It's like, talk about intermarriage. We worry about intermarriage. You can't even marry 11/12 of the Jews. You can only marry people in your own tribe. And that's what it says. She can marry somebody from her own shevet. Wow. So what happened on Tukav? When the rabbis changed the law and the halacha, the Gemara has a whole discussion about this. How exactly did that work? But however it worked, however the rabbis derived it, this halacha was nullified on Tu B'Av. And the fact that Jews could marry each other on Tu B'Av is a reason, that's why it's such a great holiday. It's also a very beautiful thing. You can get married. That's the happiest day of the year. That's the happiest day of the year that the Jews can marry each other. Okay, so let's continue. So the second reason, as Ruth was saying, is similar. There was a war. We won't get into it. Pilegish. Bikivasi, the Gemara says, Maita Rosh. Okay, how does the Gemara know it? Fine. It only applied to that generation. The second reason, Yom Shutru Shevet Binyamin Levobakal. So that's where we started, that there was a civil war on the case of Pilegesh Bikiva. The people in Binyamin had mistreated this person, and it was awful. Jews went and thousands of people were killed. And again, they put a sort of a ban on the people of Binyamin. And on Tu B'Av, they relaxed that ban. Again, it's the same idea that now we can marry people. Binyamin was sort of out. They were on the outs, and then they were brought back in to the Jewish people. That's reason number two. Reason number three. Yom Shekalu Bo Metei Midbar. That's the day that the people in the desert stopped dying. The people stopped dying the 40 years. By the way, this is 10 months before they go to the land of Israel, right? There's the Midrashic ideas that people would die every year on Tisha B'Av, right? That's when they died. Okay, whatever. But and so they didn't die that Tisha B'Av, and they weren't sure. Maybe they miscalculated. They didn't know. By the time of the 15th, the full moon, they realized, it's over, that everybody who is going to die has died, and then they're going to enter Israel 10 months later, just before Pesach. Number four, Ula says, Yom Shebitel Hosha Ela Prustayot Shoshiv Yeravam Ben Nevat Al Hadrakim. Yeravam Ben Nevat, when he split the kingdom and he started Mount Lechet Yisrael, talking about splitting kingdom and fighting, that's of course very, very, very Tisha B'Av. So Hosha Ben Ela, who was the last of the kings of Israel, he removed the roadblocks. Yeravam didn't want people going to Yerushalayim. He's going to set up his own capital. So he didn't allow Jews to go like we have for 19 years, 48 to 67. No Jews could go to the Kotel. So they have, Yeravam ben Nevat did the same thing. Jews weren't allowed to go. And when the Jews could go up to the Kotel, they took away the roadblocks. That also happened on Tu B'Av. Then the Gemara says, the fifth reason, Yom Shenitmo Haruge Beitar Likfura. The people of Beitar, that's the Rabbi Akiva wrote this. By the way, this reason that Yeravam ben Nevat, this is before there's any Tisha B'Av. This is during the time of the First Temple. So it's very fascinating. Tu B'Av here, this doesn't fit in my overall theme, that Tu B'Av is going to be a sort of a day of Tshuva for Tisha B'Av. But this happened before there's any Tisha B'Av. This Tu B'Av, right, obviously, this is talking to Yeravam ben Nevat later on, before the destruction of the First Temple. Now we have after the destruction of the Second Temple. 65 years later, the Bar Kokhba revolt and the massacre at Beitar, and they were buried, they were allowed to be buried. They were killed on Tisha B'Av, that's what the Mishnah says, and they were only allowed to be buried on Tu B'Av, 6 days later. And you have this unbelievable idea. It's hard to imagine. I don't fully understand it. Maybe somebody can explain it to me. Tiknu B'Yavne HaTov B'Hameitiv. What we say in Birchat HaMazon, the Birchat HaMazon ends, Boneh Barachamav Yerushalayim Amen, also tied into Yerushalayim. David and Shlomo, the third bracha, Rachem, Yisrael Amecha, Val Yerushalayim Yerecha, that the Gemara says was composed by David Ushlomo, a prayer for Jerusalem and the temple. And B'nei Yerushalayim Erech Kodesh, B'mhei Rabbi Amen, who built Jerusalem, Baruchat Hashem, Boneh Barachamav Yerushalayim, Amen. Why do we answer Amen to our own bracha? We never answer Amen to our own bracha because we want to distinguish. This is the biblical part of benching. And this, Elavino, Akeno, Adirenu, Borenu, Goleni, Otrenu, Kedoshenu, Umiko, Tuv, Lolam, Yichasrenu, that what we call Hatov, Ametivu, Hetivu, Metivu, Yetivu, right? That Hatov, Shaloh, Hisrichu. God is very good that the bodies didn't decompose. Vametiv, Shenitnu, Likura, they got a proper burial. I don't know. I find that very, what about the fact that they were all killed? So the fact that they were killed, we mourn on Tisha B'Av. But 364 days a year, we thank God that they had a proper burial. Just an amazing thing to think about. And if you have Hakara Satov for this, how much more so we have to have Hakara Satov for proper things. But that's the fifth reason we have for Tu B'Av. And the sixth reason, the only one that relates directly to the Beit HaMikdash is Yom Shepasku Melichot Eitzim L'Maracha. It's the day they stopped bringing wood to the altar. What does that mean? So as the Gemara says, it's the end of the summer. I don't know. It's very hot out here today. But we know the days really start getting shorter in August. The days really 15 minutes a week. And the sun is less powerful. And the sun couldn't dry out the wood. And they're afraid there'd be bugs in the wood. And they didn't want to bring that wood to the temple. So they would cut all the wood. They would cut all the wood before Tu B'Av. And so it's a very sort of interesting idea. And then the Gemara says, now they all cut wood. So you know what you have to do? They called it Yom Tavar Magal, Mikan Ve'elech Demosif Yosif Delo Yosif Yesaf. Wow. From the 15th of Av onwards, those who learn Torah, that's what it means to me, Demosif, who learns Torah, Yosif, he'll be added to his life. Delo Mosif, but he doesn't learn Torah. Oh boy. Yes, if he'll be gathered to his people, Amar of Yosef Tikvarim, a very harsh curse, that now we don't have to work, we don't have to chop wood, we don't have to do so many things. So therefore we have time to learn Torah. So those are the six reasons the Mishnah, or the Gemara gives why we celebrate, Tu B'Av. Okay. So what do they have to do with Tisha B'Av? So I think some of it is obvious. Some of it is let's start.
I think that Yossi Levin explained why we Hatova Hametiv in the Birkat Hamazon. He explained that this is the mitzvah of avoiding bizayon briyot.
No, I understand that, of course. I'm just saying it's very, it's to me, it sounds a little bit strange, you know, that,
No, but you're saying that it's the biggest mitzvah in the, of all.
Yes, 100%. Make mitzvah. I just find it strange that we would when you have come upon a make mitzvah, it overrides every other mitzvah. But that we should have three times a day, presumably, when the people used to eat bread, they used to eat at every meal. We don't do that anymore. But they used to say Birchat HaMazon three times a day, twice a day, three times a day, whatever. And that we have a special bracha all the time to remember that people weren't there. What Rabbi Levine was talking about, as I understood, it was talking about now. When you make mitzvah, what do you do? Why is it so important to miss the Korban Pesach, to miss everything? Because, yes, the Bizayon HaMeit is very terrible, the degradation of letting a dead body. But the idea that for all of Jewish history, we should memorialize the fact that these people, even though they were killed, we hatov ametiv, that's like an upbeat. God is great. Hatov ametiv does good and he does other good. You know, if you win $1 million in the lottery, you make the bracha hatov ametiv, right? Sometimes you make a shachiyana, sometimes you make hatov ametiv. I don't know, winning $1 million in the lottery and burying Jews who were massacred somehow is very different. That's all. But that's not so much our
topic. Wasn't it a year later that they were able to bury them?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't it a year later that
so, you know, I could be wrong. I just assumed it was a week later. But
no, I think it was at least maybe.
No, it was a very long time later.
Yeah. Very long time. You might be right.
That's why they said okay. Hatov ametiv. Because
it still doesn't, I don't know. I'm still bothered by that, but I'm glad other people aren't bothered by that. I just find it interesting that we make such, even if it's, who cares when it is? We don't, you know, we wouldn't say that, you know, somebody and, you know, from the Holocaust, you think about the people who were killed or something, the people were shot and left, the corpses were left. And then we went 6 years later and we could bury all them in a proper tour. I don't know that we would. You say that's a notion for celebration. That's the Gemara says when you move a kever, it's a day of mourning, right? If you bury somebody and then 10 years later you move the grave, let's say for whatever reason, for family reasons, so they have one day of shiva. So I don't know. I don't want to get too bogged down in that, but I just throw that out as that's an amazing thing that we do say thank you for that. So my point is how much more we have to say thank you for the good things, the really good things in life. That you have to have hakarat hatov. Okay, so the connection to Tisha B'Av, obviously the fact that they stopped dying chet hamaragdim, that's very much connected. The Beitar that the Gemara says, Beitar happened on Tisha B'Av. Removing the roadblocks is also very much connected to Tisha B'Av. Now you can go to Yerushalayim, to the Beit HaMikdash. No more chopping of wood. That's also relating to the function of the Beit HaMikdash. So you see, there is this notion that the events of Tu B'Av in a certain way are serving to rectify the tragedies that happen on Tisha B'Av, right? We're burying the people in Beitar, the people of the Meraglim, the people from the first generation aren't dying anymore. Now, what about marriage? So we said earlier that the Mishnah says, Lo yu yamim tovim l'Yisrael. There were no days of great joy, save for Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. On those days, they would go dancing. So what does it mean, on those days, they would go dancing? Right? So it doesn't, I don't think it means, why is Yom Kippur a happy day? It's not because they went dancing. It's not because the happiness of Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av is not that they went dancing in the fields. It's because Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av are such happy days, they went dancing in the field. The dancing is the expression of the joy. It's not the reason for the joy. In other words, when I say, what makes Yom Kippur the happiest day of the year? The fact that they went dancing in the fields. No. Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. Because it's the happiest day of the year, they went dancing in the fields. That's how I understand the Gemara. Now, why is that important and what does that mean? So we know, we know the laning on the Yom Kippur at Mincha is about who you can marry and who you can't marry. What's the idea of marriage? What's the idea of marriage? So let's start on the Tisha B'Av angle. We'll start. The Mishnah, the Gemara says that, Kol ha mesameach chatan mekala. Please God, this week there'll be lots of weddings too, but wedding season will kick in as early as tomorrow. So whoever rejoices with a chatan v'kala ki'ilu bana achad mechorvat Yerushalayim. It's as if they rebuilt one of the walls of Jerusalem. It's a very nice gemara. So it's the importance to dance at a wedding, but the sort of comparison is a little bit unusual. What's the link between dancing at a wedding and building Yerushalayim? Yeah, we remember, we break the glass and we do all these things to remember. Imlo alet Yerushalayim or sympathy. But what exactly does it mean if you rejoice with a chatan mekala? It's as if you're rebuilding parts of Jerusalem. Hamechorvot Yerushalayim, from the destruction of Jerusalem. So I think the answer is very obvious. The standard explanation for Tisha B'Av, Sinat Chinam, that baseless hatred, or however you want to, apathy, however you want to translate tinat chinam, that's a whole other shir, but it means people not getting along with one another. What's marriage? Marriage is the notion of abat chinam. Marriage is the notion of two people coming together. There's no, if Tisha B'Av represents, you know, the people separating, I mentioned many times, all the stories in the Gemara, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, all the stories about the destruction are in Masechet Kitin, the divorce, because the relationship between God and the Jewish people, Yasi Salayich Elohayit, Kimsos Chatan Al Kala, the relationship between God and the Jewish people is like a bride and a groom. So the love, the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael are all in Masechet Ketuvot, where we talk about the marriage document. And the exile from the land is in Masechet Gittin, because the Jewish people, the divorce of God and the Jewish people, as happens on Tisha B'Av, is reflected in Gittin. So marriage is the way we repair what happened on Tisha B'Av. That's a Avat Hinam. And it's also the way we repair our relationship to God. That's why on Yom Kippur, right? It's the same idea. Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are days for getting married. I marvel at this, you know, like, I don't know why this has been a totally lost tradition. I don't know, maybe people older than me can tell me, didn't they used to have young Israel? I shouldn't say this, but didn't they have dances on Yom Kippur night in the olden days when they used to sponsor dances? You know, Yom Kippur night, they would have a dance, right? No, yeah, I'm not making that up. Correct?
I don't know about young Israel, but my parents in Baltimore, in the Orthodox shuls, there was.
Again, that's not for now, but it was well known. The Orthodox shuls have mixed dances because at that era, it's an amazing thing about the development of Judaism, because they felt if they didn't have them, the young men and women are not going to not go dancing. They're just going to go dancing in places we don't want them. And this way, we do it in an Orthodox shul, we can keep an eye from them. And I know people who met that way, people who have kids who are learning in Kollel, whose parents met at a mixed dance of young Israel. And believe me, I was once at a meal and the parents were telling me this. They said they met at a dance and the kid learning call, he wanted to dig a hole under the table and go, you know.
It was post Yom Kippur. That was
right, because it's based on the Mishnah. Now, I'm not getting into the halachic eunuch dancing. That's not what I'm talking about. But the idea of a marriage in Yom Kippur, that's one of the key themes, because that's the way. Let's take a look. Maybe we'll put this in we'll put this in halachic terminology. So we'll take a look. Yes, somebody wants to ask me something. Hold on.
Yeah, Rabbi Jay, the Churban was not only the physical of Bet HaMikdash, is to destroy us.
Yeah, yeah.
To start the wedding is a binyan.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's the point. So let's just look at a beautiful Rambam. Maybe people are aware of this Rambam. This Rambam appears in Hilchot Teshuva. It's the 10th chapter. It's the end of Hilchot Teshuva. It's according to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the parak we're supposed to learn on Yom Kippur. The Rambam and Hilchot Teshuva is 10 chapters. So the Rav felt, I think quoting his grandfather, that the Rambam probably did this on purpose, 10 prakim for a seret yemei teshuva. So this is in the 10th parak of Hilchot Teshuva. So the Rambam is talking about there's a mitzvah, you have to love God. Avat Hashem, you have to love God. Avat Hashem okecha. Alvei me'ava, osek b'torah, so etc. The Rambam here in the halacha, that's how he begins the perek. We have to love God, and how do we do the mitzvah? And then the Rambam says, ketzad ava ruya, what's the proper love? Ushiav Hashem ava gdola yitira aza ad ma'od. You have to love God so much. It's very hard. This is a very difficult mitzvah. You have to love God that your soul is bound up. That's the expression by Yaakov Avinu, his relationship to Yosef, right? That's what Yehuda said when he was pleading with Yosef.
Is that
the Rav Kino
book?
No, this is right now. The Rambam. This is the Rambam.
Okay.
Nafshok shirab avat Hashem benimsa shogeb atamid. If you can mute yourself, please. Oh, for a second, I'll take questions in a moment. Shogeb otamid. You're constantly thinking of God. That's day and night. You're lovesick.
As opposed to the reformulated one from somebody like Rabbi Rosenfeld.
Okay, hold on. Okay. She'ain dat tov liyav me'avato to isha. The same way a person, when he falls in love, with a girl, Rambam's writing from the male perspective, that's all he thinks about her day and night. Who shall get about coming? So that's how you have to love.
By what Rabbi M said the end of the fast is, or by what actual sense it says the end of the fast?
Hold on. Is somebody asking a question? Do I have to move everything? Just
Shabbat fast is ridiculous.
Okay. We'll talk after you pray.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Okay, let me mute everybody. You can mute yourself. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. So the Rambam says the way to love God is the same way we love the same way when a man falls in love, he thinks about his girlfriend 24/7. Right? The youthful love, shir hashirim, right? And that's how we're supposed to think. That's our association with God. Now, you can't do both. I mean, if you're, you know, so what does the Rambam mean? I mean, the love of your wife, or the love of your spouse, let's say, and love of God, it's through the love of your spouse that we come to love God. That's the whole notion that, that's the completeness of man. Getting married is an act of tshuva. It's not a coincidence. We say, al chet, like we do on Yom Kippur, on the day you get married. Marriage is the way we go closer to God. What's an Ezer Kenegdo? An Ezer Kenegdo is somebody who helps you develop your relationship to God. That's the Jewish, yes, you can be in love. But the Jewish view of marriage is that the goal of love is that God created us this way. So two people should come together in deep love, and they should then help each other to develop their love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why marriage is the highest act of tshuva. Now, there's a second high act of tshuva, and that's Rav Soloveitchik always developed the notion of shiva. When you sit shiva, the purpose of sitting shiva is to do tshuva. It's very sort of, wow, the two opposite sides of life. That tshuva is when somebody dies, so you reflect on life, you realize we're not going to be here forever. Shiva is an act of tshuva, that's the goal. And getting married is a process of how to do tshuva. So marriage and death are the notion of tshuva. Now, if you think about it, if Tisha B'Av, and this is how Rav Soloveitchik explains, the 3 weeks are treated like mourning for a parent for 12 months. The 9 days are mourning for a parent in Shloshim. That's how the Rav has halakhic categories. And again, we're not going to get into all the details, but that's how the Rav said you have to treat these days. And Tisha B'Av is Shiva. The halachas, we know, the halachas of Tisha B'Av, you sit on a low stool, we don't put on tefillin like an onay, it's a day of mourning. No, if you sit Shiva, if you begin to sit Shiva on Tisha B'Av, when does Shiva end?
Morning.
Now, when is the Shiva over? If Shiva begins on Tisha B'Av, when does the Shiva end? On Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av is the end of the Shiva. Of Tisha B'Av. Now, if the Mishnah is equating Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, right? So we know Yom Kippur is a day of Slicha Mechila. The Gemara gives 6 reasons what Tu B'Av. But what's the Gemara saying? Tu B'Av is also a day of Slicha Mechila. It's marriage. It's coming to the Beit HaMikdash. It's all those things that it's Shiva, right? The burial of the person. It's all those things that connect to Tshuva is also Tu B'Av. Lo Ayu Yamim Tovim LiYisrael. Because Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av are days of tshuva. Now, why do you need 2 days of tshuva? Why isn't Yom Kippur enough? This is like the rabbin, and Yom Kippur is the biblical tshuva, and Tu B'Av is like the rabbis adding an extra day. Why do we need 2? What's the difference between them? Oh my God, I can't believe it's 6:55 already. So, excellent. Yom Kippur is Bein Adam LeMakom, and Tu B'Av is Bein Adam LeChaveiro. We need to, now, of course, again, they're intertwined, but Yom Kippur focuses Lifnei Hashem Titaru. We come before God. It's, we separate from our wife on Yom Kippur. It's the focus on God. Of course, the goal of that is to be nice to, you know, to develop our relationship. But Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva between man and God. You cannot do tshuva between man and God if you haven't done tshuva between man and man. Right? That's, everybody knows that halacha. God can't forgive sin between man and man. So Tu B'Av in many ways is the beginning of the Yom Kippur season. What can I tell you? Elul's, we're blowing shofar in a couple weeks. Tu B'Av is the tshuva that has to precede Yom Kippur. It's the tshuva of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Tisha B'Av is Sinat Chinam, is the, or the Chet HaMeraglim. We look at the Chet HaMeraglim, the rejection of the land of Israel. That's true. But read the Parsha. Yoshua and them, they're arguing, they're fighting, and everything's bochel and mishpachotav, everybody's separated. Tisha B'Av in the Chet HaMeraglim marked the beginning of the separation of the Jewish people, marked the beginning of what we would call Shinat Chinam. So Tu B'Av, that's the day of Shiva. So you do Tshuva. Tu B'Av is the conclusion of the Shiva of Tisha B'Av. And therefore, how do we do that Shiva? Through marriage, through dancing in the fields. And therefore, the Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur is very much, it's the same way that we connect Chanukah to Sukkot and Purim to Yom Kippur and Shivat Asar B'Tammuz to Yom Kippur. And in other words, all we connect the biblical and rabbinic holidays. So we're connecting Tu B'Av to Yom Kippur. In other words, they're both days of Slicha u'Mechila. And but each one focusing on a different aspect. Now the Marsha, just last point we'll make, he says that, let's go back to the Mishnah very briefly. I guess I have the advantage when I speak last. I did it, you know, but one of them, I can go overtime because I don't have to worry about our next speaker, but okay, I'll try not to, but I'm happy to answer any questions. So here, the Mishnah continues. Sheker Achein Nevayofi, they're dancing out in the fields. B'cheinu Omer Tzena Ure'ena B'not Zion B'melech Shloma B'atarashi Thro Limo. So if I can say, go out and see, this is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The daughters of Zion should go out in the king Shlomo, B'atarashi Ithra Lo Imo, with the crown that we crowned his mother. But I can say we, our daughter Atara, who we named on Shavuot, this is where, you know, I spoke, we named her Atara, and this is, I spoke on this Mishnah about the Matan Torah. The Mishnah says, V'yom Chatunato, the day of the wedding between God and the Jewish people, V'yom Simchat Libo. V'yom Chatunato Zum Matan Torah. The marriage between God and the Jewish people is Matan Torah. Let's say that's on Shavuot. Also in Yom Kippur, the second Torah afterwards. V'yom Simchat Libo is Ebinyan Beit HaMikdash. She'vanevim Hei Rabbi Yemein. It's very interesting. I don't have that so much. The Mishnah actually adding a prayer. V'yom Simchat Libo is Ebinyan Beit HaMikdash. And the Marsha is saying that's sweat Tu B'Av is about, of course. Tu B'Av is rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. How do we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash? Through Ahavat Chinam, the famous line we all know from Rav Kook. The temple was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam, and the temple will rebuild because of Ahavat Chinam. So, okay, let's just quickly review. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to say that I forgot to say. You know, when I'm not very, the fast going to make sure. Okay, I'll just have one last. The one thing that happened on Tisha B'Av that we didn't mention in this talk was the city was plowed. Rabbi Mintz mentioned it right at the beginning. Yerushalayim, they plowed the city. So I find that's very interesting. So he said, you plow, you know, that's destruction. You got to plow the field so you can build up something new, getting rid of everything. But on the other hand, plowing is the first step in building. And if you want to plant, you got to plow. So basically what happened is the Jewish people had to hit rock bottom. Tisha B'Av is the Jewish people hit rock. We plowed. But within Tisha B'Av are the seeds for tshuva. That's why the idea that the Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. And when the Gemara says, "Kol hamit abel al Yerushalayim zocheh v'ro'eh v'vinyanah," whoever mourns for Jerusalem will merit to see its rebuilding. So I don't think, I mean, it may also be, but I don't think it's mainly like a reward. Okay, if you mourn, we'll give you you'll give you a reward, you'll get to see. So what about all the people who mourned in history? All right, trias amating, whatever. I don't think that's what the Gemara really means. I think what the Gemara means, kol mitabel Yerushalayim, it's through mourning for Jerusalem that we rebuild Yerushalayim. It's not that it's a reward because we mourn. If we mourn properly, and we take the lessons of Tisha B'Av, like we take the lesson, the atbash, the sensitivity that begins on on Pesach, the sensitivity of the Kigirim Hayitim Beret Yisrael. If we mourn properly, then we will merit to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So that's the Mishnah ends, will end. That should be the Meher B'Yameinu, that we should be Zoch. And that's what Tu B'Av is. And that's why Tu B'Av, you notice there's no reference in the Torah. We don't even know exactly what it is. Every rabbi giving a slightly different reason, right? Tu B'Av is sort of the rabbinic, you know, the rabbinic takana, the mini Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur. If we know we can't enter Yom Kippur unless we do tshuva, we reconcile with our friends. And we know the breakdown began on Tisha B'Av, so the Shiva's over. On Tu B'Av, we begin the reconciliation process, and that takes us to Yom Kippur. So just very quickly quickly to review some of the points we made. Mentioned our calendar is not a static calendar. Holidays are always interconnected. Pesach and Chag HaMatzot and Pesach and Shavuot and of course, Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Hanukkah. So it's the interconnection because every holiday has to lead to another holiday. You can never view the holiday. You can never view a historical event in isolation. You have to see what came before and what you do with it moving forward. And then the connection, every holiday is connected to Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim at Bash. That's why our holidays go. It's not just a cute way to remember the holidays. It's to show that the essence of the holidays, it's all in Mitzrayim, beginning, of course, with Tisha B'Av, and of course, our entire calendar, it starts from Mitzrayim, but the goal is Eretz Yisrael. And we can only have a calendar if it's established in the land of Israel. And the fact that we have a Jewish calendar, that we can have any holidays, is a testament to that God did not divorce us, that even though the stories of Tisha B'Av, God maintained the relationship, and we never were totally exiled from the land. That's what the Rambam says. We couldn't have any Jewish holidays if there was ever, God forbid, a time where there were no Jews living in the land. It's an amazing, I find it's an amazing Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvot. I don't know exactly the source for all that, but that's for another time. And then we said, obviously, the Mishnah compares Tu B'Av to Yom Kippur. We understand why Yom Kippur is a happy day. We don't know exactly why Tu B'Av is. The Gemara gives all kinds of reasons. That seems to be most of them are a corrective to Tisha B'Av, but the same way Yom Kippur is a Yom Slicha U'Mechila, they a forgiveness, and they're comparing the two. So obviously Tu B'Av is a day of forgiveness, and we need the 2 days of forgiveness because one is man and man, and one is man to God. And the way we celebrate that it's a special day of Slicha U'Mechila is by dancing in the field, by getting married. Because marriage is the way of tshuva. Marriage helps us both in our relationship. It's Ahavat Chinam. It's the corrective to Sinat Chinam. Obviously, two people can care so deeply for one another and build a life together. That's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And of course, Bein Adam L'Makom, as the Rambam writes, through marriage, each one helps the other grow in their relationship to God. So that's why it's on Tu B'Av. We celebrate this by acts of marriage. So we should be zochet to celebrate Tu B'Av. And I don't know, I think they should bring back a lot of these practices. I think they may say a few less piyutim and people should go on dates on Yom Kippur afternoon. We have a big shidduch. I'd say this not jokingly. You know, it's really, it is a time for singles to get together. That's how the Gemara says. It's a whole, not the way we view Yom Kippur, but that's the way the Mishnah viewed Yom Kippur. What can I tell you? That's the way to come. Okay, let me just see if there are any questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you for staying. Really, and please let me know if I owe anybody a dinner, as I said.
No, you don't owe anybody.
You can be multiple on the dinner, but I still
owe
you a dinner. Oh,
you
owe me
a dinner.
Okay, great. Let's go.
Yes, guys.
I'll tell you where you want to go.
I agree with you, Debbie. We owe him a dinner. Rabbi, you gave us food for thought.
Ah, there you go.
Okay.
Let me see the comments very quick.
It was a tremendous day.
There was Nick Stanton and Nick Kiva, the
old owner. Thank you so much.
The woman who worked at Carmel Bakery, yeah. Listen, what can I tell you? I mentioned before when I was talking with Rabbi Mintz how Tisha B'Av has slowly changed. Not just because we didn't have technology. Tisha B'Av was a day you went to Mumble King. I remember the first year when I introduced, I used to, besides the program I did, I would do a 3-hour explanation of, you know, birds. I was a rabbi of a shul here, a small shul, and I would do it myself, 3 hours explaining keynote. And I got a lot of flack over it because I skipped 2/3 of the keynote or 3/4, but it took me 3 hours to say the other quarter. And I got flack. How can I skip keynote? That's not orthodox. It's not religious. Today, I think, thank God, that's, I think, I don't know any shul that says all the keynote. That's the common way to do it. And whatever, things changed. It was the Rav who really started it. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. I stayed on the whole 8 hours. Okay, thank you, Daya. You cooked a lot. Yeah, that's it. You can cook. Turn off your screen. Very good. Okay. All right. I appreciate it, everybody. Tomorrow, listen, let's, tomorrow, Naomi Siepen will be giving a first of her two parts in the history of Beit Yaakov. I think that's at 1 p.m. if my mind is thinking correctly. Tuesday, Tova Genzel her series is finished. Wednesday, Marty Lakshin. Thursday, Moshe Sokolow on the letters of the Rambam, and then Rabbi Gottlieb, who is part of the Zichron Dov Beit Midrash here in Toronto, will be giving the shiur, and then my shiur on the Siddur on Friday. So it's nice. Listen, this we get. I'm a little bit blown away. The last time I checked, we had 1,045 people registered for the program on Tisha B'Av. Now, we never had 1,045 people who showed up, but different people come for different times, and people listen afterwards. But usually, you know, we get 100 people, 200 people to sign up. We had 1,045 people sign up. Now, people are looking for things to do on Tisha B'Av, but Baruch Hashem, we have things to do pretty much almost 365 days a year. So I invite you to learn. I know people have more time and more interest. I totally get it. But I hope you'll join us for some learning. And, you know, I do appreciate somebody sent me a recommendation today of somebody to invite to speak. I'm going to look up that. And, okay, I want to thank you. Oh, Jake, nice to see you. Are you here? Thank you, Jake. Okay, my very good friend for as long as I'm alive. I won't say if Adamin says we were 10 years old in 1988. So with Jake, I was 10 years old earlier than 1988. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for a wonderful, very meaningful day.
Thank you, Mr. Sampson. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know the Torontonians I know better. You know, what can I say? And some of the regulars not from Toronto, I know, but, what can I say?
Tova,
you okay? You managed? You fasted okay?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, everybody.
You made it easy.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Listen, there's still an hour left in the fast. It can, pull out whatever, some interesting J.J. Schechter's article in Yoshua. It was a great read. All kinds of interesting.
Two hours.
So, well, I have to go to Mincha at 8:05, and I normally end up in Mincha Gedola in other years, but obviously I didn't have a chance. So once I go to Mincha, like it's, you know, I have to put it on tefillin. It's a little bit weird, you know, it's 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and I haven't put on tefillin yet, but okay.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Winnipeg Fast Ends at 9:45. Yeah. I will say one thing, just because I have nothing to do for the next hour. What we went to, you know, our trips, our Torah Motion trip. So in 2013, we did a trip to Africa with Rabbi Slipkin. It wasn't exactly Jewish history, but it was Jewish learning to Africa. And my wife was born in Africa. She until 8. You know, my in-laws are, you know, are South Africans. It was the first time, the only time I've been there and with the family. So we were going right after Tisha B'Av. And right after we booked our tickets, I got an invitation to come and speak in South Africa for Tisha B'Av. They knew I'd organize a program, but we'd already booked our tickets. It was too hard to change it. And my wife was saying, no, let's go, because the fast in South Africa ends at 5:30 on Tisha B'Av. Because remember, they're in the winter now. So and you're going to tell me it's 25 hours? It's not true. Everybody knows. It's not the same, the fast from 6 to 6, than the fast from 9 to 9. It's not the same. So anyways, Nunu, I missed that opportunity to only have Tisha B'Av to 5:30 in the afternoon. But I don't know if any South Africans are online here, but they've been eating for hours and hours and hours. Okay, thanks a lot. Everybody,
thank
well.
You. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you for coming, everybody. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Thank you, B'smachot.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Yeah. Okay. Shama Ravit, Shama Chamishi, Shama Tzvi, Shama Tziri. Let's sasson and let's simcha. Amet v'shalom ahavo. Let's hope that.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Very good.